Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color every Sunday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. My name is Glenn Greenwich. I am back from vacation in Hawaii, and with me is the stellar and Lady Bird, Henrietta Bird, our other host for tonight. How you doing, Henrietta? Henrietta, are you there? Are you square? Well, Henrietta is on the line. I think she may be dealing with some phone things. But anyway, but we're doing great tonight, and we have a great show for you tonight. We've got some conversations about how things are going to go and what they're going to do and how the summit works and so on and so forth. So we've got a pretty outstanding lineup for you tonight. So we're looking forward to making all of that happen. And, you know, it's good to be back on the show for me because I had a little couple-week hiatus. So that was very good. So what we do is we start with the Declaration of International Black Summit. So let's do that. Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east to west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Henrietta, are you there? Your mic is open. Okay. She is online. I have her, and her mic is open, so we'll skip back from wherever she's visiting. We will have her be on the show. So I just want to let, so we had a weekend in Atlanta this past weekend that was very, very powerful. I've heard from several individuals talking about it, and I am amazed always at the work that gets done on these weekends. And the thing about the International Black Summit is it's all about intention. So it really is about intentionality and about creating intention and having intention be present. So, you know, that's the thing that comes to mind and is so very powerful about the International Black Summit. So we've got some guests over here that's going to be coming on in a little while, and we will get them on as soon as they come on, and let me check in the chat room and see what's happening in the chat room so we can be with the folks from the chat room and welcome them to the show as well. So we've got a few things that are going on, and I know I'm sounding a little mellow, but I am that, you know. Only because I've been able to relax and do some different things. So, Henrietta, are you there yet? Okay. Not sure. Oh, there you are. Hey, Henrietta.
Glenn?
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay. I've been here all the time.
Yeah, but you
couldn't hear me. You couldn't hear me. But I'm here. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And welcome back. We missed you. I understand you've been down there walking the beach, eating pineapple, and all of that good stuff.
Having a good life. Having a good life, my dear.
A good life.
As they say, living my vision.
Right, living your vision. You must be a member of the International Black Summit.
Absolutely, my dear. Every day and every moment of the day.
Okay. Well, tonight we have a great show. You'll probably see a 973 number, Glenn, and that's our guest team member from the International Black Summit.
Jonathan.
Right. And then we also have as our guest Alabamian. Is that correct? Alabamian Keita Crump Hampton. Is
oh,
going
wow.
to speak with us a little bit later on. So, you know, this is a countdown to Birmingham, and we have exactly 8 weeks until the annual event, and everybody is heading south either from Interstate 20 or from Interstate 65 going to Birmingham, Alabama, for the International Black Summit annual event, which is August the 2nd through the 5th. And we have a wonderful opening night plan for everyone. We have just a wonderful weekend plan. The facilitator body met on Friday, and the leadership body met Saturday and Sunday. We just finished about 3:15 today. And we are clear and ready to listen to what life is offering to the universe in Birmingham, Alabama. So Jonathan is on, and he's going to share some of the things that his team is up to and some of the things that went on this weekend. And Keita's going to give us a perspective of Alabama from the northern part of the state. And why she believes that the summit is being called to come to Birmingham. So we have a great show prepared for you tonight. We hope you listen to the declaration. If you didn't get a chance to really listen to the declaration, we ask that you go to our website, blacksummit.org, and read it more than once. And see where you find yourself in that declaration. The declaration, as you hear us, recited or generated or self-generated every Sunday evening, was written in 1991 by a group of people who came together who decided that they would be a part of transformation for people of color. There's some background noise. If you could mute your phone, please. But they came together and created this document. And when you read the document, you will find yourself in that document. You will find your life in that document. So we ask that people go to blacksummit.org and read the declaration and prepare yourself for the annual event August 2nd through 5th at the Doubletree Hotel in Birmingham, Alabama on 20th Street, right on UAB's campus. So there's looking for a good time and a lot of, you know, be prepared to do a lot of work, but be prepared to work on your vision and have your life come forth through the vision that you have for yourself and the Black community and all communities, because as the Declaration says, we declare all communities whole and complete, our community and all communities. So let's get started, Glenn. Jonathan, I will now let Jonathan introduce himself to the listeners, and we'll just do it that way. Jonathan?
How you doing, Henrietta? How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing great, Jonathan. Welcome to the show.
How was your vacation? I'm glad to be here. I'm a first-time listener, first-time guest.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Okay. My name is Jonathan Davis. I'm from New Jersey. I'm a trainer. I teach environmental courses, OSHA health and safety courses. I was introduced into the BAC Summit 3 years ago by my wife, Niamo Mui Davis. My first experience was at Summit Share in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And from that, I went to Baltimore to the summit. I believe it had to be in 2009. And it's been an awesome experience. Every time I get around the summit people, I leave rejuvenated. And that was the case this weekend. I got in late Friday, the second portion of the training, the facilitator body training, and I was able to participate both Saturday and Sunday in the leadership body session. It was challenging, very productive, and I was just glad to be a part of it.
So, Jonathan, once again, you were introduced to the summit by Niamo, your wife,
yes.
Your wonderful wife.
Yes.
You've been a part of the summit body for a while. And what was it about Niamo? I mean, what was it that she said that really had you come to the summit?
Well, not for nothing, I follow my wife to the ends of the world, ends of the earth. All she has to do is say, and I do. So it wasn't like it was a big explanation that was necessary. What
okay.
I can say is this. I wasn't new to the technology. I was new to the summit. I wasn't new to the technology. For those who don't know, a lot of the listening comes out of Landmark. And
mm-hmm.
I was part of a series of courses back in the middle 80s at the time was called Action Workshops and occurred under the sponsorship of Barbara Ann Tier in the National Black Theater. Glenn, you should remember that, correct? Is Glenn there?
I think he has you on mute. I think
okay.
He muted his phone.
Okay. But anyhow, it was wonderful work back then. It has helped to guide me throughout my life. And when I came to the summit, it was just a continuation of that type of transformation training and languaging that made me kind of fit right in. It wasn't a big transition at all.
Okay. Okay. And so have you been in Landmark a long time?
Well, like I said, I predated Landmark back in the middle 80s. I took
mm-hmm.
a series of like four courses and I've used that technology both in my private life and my professional life. So
okay.
I can't say I came out of Landmark per se. I preceded Landmark. I came after EST.
Oh, EST training. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So you,
yeah,
like you said, you want to.
I actually did EST.
Glenn?
I actually did ask.
Yeah. And I was saying, I had you on mute before, but you knew Barbara Ann Taylor. You were familiar with the work going on at the National Black Theater, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I attended. I got cut off. My signal dropped. I
uh-huh.
actually attended their Terror Technology of Soul. Was it Soul? Well, the coursework that they actually offered. So I actually did that as a supplemental to the transformational work that I was doing at the time.
That was in the 80s or the 90s?
That was actually in the 90s because I moved back to New York in the 90s. That's when I took it with Barbara Antier and Ade Faison.
Ade, yeah. Well, I was telling him, yeah, that I came through in the middle 80s with Fernando Flores. You probably heard his name before.
Oh, sure.
Yes?
Yeah, I have. Matter of fact, Conrad and Bill Patterson and a couple other the folks were heavily involved in the work that he was doing, which was the first work that actually took place uptown. So that was the uptown body of work that took place. And then, of course, Barbara Antier took it from there and created and had the seminar. And of course, you know, Barbara Antier's sister, Frederica, was heavy into Landmark as well.
Yeah.
Who introduced Barbara Ann to it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So having done all of that transformation work and then moving into the International Black Summit, was there like a transition that you had to go through? Was it, you know, just a real comfortable transition, or was it just another way to continue the education you'd always had?
I see it as both. It was an easy transition in that when I attended the first summit chair as a guest, I was real at ease with the people who were participating. And it was interesting because leading up to the Baltimore event, I had been invited by Edwin Yvonne to come and participate, and he had the foresight to see I could make a contribution. And I wasn't clear how that would look because I was pretty much brand new to the summit. So me going into a summit event and taking on any type of leadership role, I wasn't sure how it would work. But I ended up being a facilitator without having been designated a facilitator. I was handling a lot of stuff as far as taking care of some of the logistical stuff, and also being in the room with the language. Me and my wife's ex-husband, we had a moment of sharing that was very powerful in that meeting.
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
Right. Yeah. I think I remember that. Yeah, that's one of the summit moments. You know, sometimes we'll do a segment on this show about summit moments. So I don't know if you want to share that. But,
oh, I would love to.
A summit moment for me is that moment when the unexpected occurs. You know, it occurs, and when it occurs, it changes the universe. It changes everything that's going on in the room. It changes things that are going on in the world because something occurs that has never occurred before. And in that moment, people step into the possibility that that same thing can happen for them in other parts of, in other aspects of their life. So if you don't mind sharing that summit moment. Now, I heard you say your wife and her ex-husband.
Yes, exactly.
And you. Now, that's not a normal way of being, you know, for many people. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I would have to give you a brief background on how me and my wife met. We met online.
Okay.
And 3 weeks after we met, we were married. That was 4 years ago.
2 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yes, we got married. And I can tell you, from that time, I've yet to have one nanosecond of second thoughts. It's been the best move I ever made in my life. I was really blessed. And I didn't know who this brother was, but we had some friends in common. One in particular was my wife's Reiki master. For those of you who don't know what Reiki is, it's universal healing through energy. I had known her for 25 years. And she knew both my wife and her ex-husband. So I told her, I didn't know who this brother was, but whenever I meet him, I ain't had nothing but hugs for him because he, you know, by him leaving, gave me an opportunity for me and my wife to meet. And I didn't say it in a negative way, it was in a positive way. And sure enough, we struck a chord. At the summit, he was in the process of sharing. He was giving credos to my wife at the time, you know, because they had been together for 25 years. So I seized upon the moment to come up on stage, pretty much on stage with him, and thank him for allowing me to take over the helm and become her mate from this point on. And it was a pretty moving experience. If you remember the conversation that we had, do you remember Henrietta?
Yes, I do. I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was so powerful. That's what I'm talking about. I'm here in Atlanta, and I'm with Keita and Joe. You know, and Joe has been sharing also how the summit is actually, like, how it's created, and that there's a space being held for things like that to occur every year. You know, like something like that's gonna happen, like something like that happened this weekend. And so I'm just like hoping that everybody who's listening will come and get your own personal summit, you know, and have life shift for you as well. So Jonathan, tell us a little bit about this weekend, and thank you for sharing that experience.
Oh, no problem. I got into this got in Friday afternoon. And Friday was a training session. So the afternoon portion was more or less putting into practice some of the exercises that had occurred in the morning. So I can't speak strongly to that because I didn't get into 3 o'clock. But I did participate in the leadership body meetings on Saturday and Sunday, and this is more or less covering some of the mechanics of putting on the event and resolving issues around the logistics of that as relates to the media program that we have to put on, as it relates to various how to put together a summit prerequisite or summit share.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the audience is familiar with those terms. And how to make manifest virtual participation in both the facilitated body meeting and how that's going to look in Birmingham at the summit event.
Okay. So everyone is like really, really prepared and ready to move forward, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Counting down.
Yep, this is the countdown. There are 8 weeks left to the summit, and we are just really, really looking forward to it. One of the things that I noticed about you, Jonathan, is you take care of people. And right, you took such good care of us. You had Glenn, he just laid it out for us every morning. He had the treats, all the fruit and the different things, you know, so that, you know, when we get up and need something, some kind of nourishment, it was right there. So I acknowledge you and thank you. And he held the space for time. Also this weekend, make sure that we were on, you know, we're in the time conversation and that we completed at 3 o'clock today. And we did. So, and I've worked on that with you, and I really appreciate your contribution, Jonathan. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be in that space and for y'all to give me the opportunity to do that.
Thank you. What are some of the teams? Have you thought about some of the teams that you might join?
Of course, the media team.
Uh-huh.
And I am on the host committee. Okay. Along with you, Claudette, Alfiel, and Anthony,
mm-hmm.
and Edwin. And that's the team that's actually dealing with the logistics of especially the first, the Thursday night event is our main concentration now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be responsible for oiling the event, being the oil to make everything go smoothly, I believe. That's our role.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, you are in what part of New Jersey?
I'm in Englewood, New Jersey. That's
mm-hmm.
about 5 minutes from the George Washington Bridge. I work in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. So I thank you for being on with us.
Thank you so much. Right now I'm having dinner with my daughter and her friend,
okay.
but I came outside. So I could
okay.
Be on the show and share this with you.
Yeah.
And thank you so
glad.
Much.
I appreciate you so much, Jonathan. Jonathan,
okay.
thank you and our love to Niamo.
No doubt, no doubt.
Okay,
can't
God
wait
bless.
To get home. All right, peace. I'm out of here.
My
say
brother
again.
Jonathan, thank you so much again for being on the show. And really,
I'm hoping this won't be the last time I get a chance to come on your show. I enjoy it.
Oh, no. You have an open invitation. Anytime that you want to come, just hang out or share something, call in the show.
Jerry Thomas.
But I just want to acknowledge you for the spirit and the magnificent male energy that you are, that you provide to the summit. Because it's wonderful to have other brothers that are there in the mix and that I am in love with, you know, that I love being with. And for those of y'all listening out there, this ain't no sexual thing. This is really
I had the opportunity to share a room with W. Paul Coates. From the New Atlantic, it was a wonderful experience. We had a chance to share our backgrounds. I met him for the first time at a summit share back in, I think it was the end of March, at Dorothy Lewis's home. He's a wonderful guy. He's doing a lot of the print work for the summit share, for the annual event as far as the brochures and all that, but he's a wonderful spirit. I got a chance to meet his wife, and it was just great spending time. You talking about that male energy, that's exactly what I had a chance to share with him.
But that is so typical of what's available for your listeners out there, that becomes available inside of the summit conversation. You get to break bread and to really share what you're up to. You know, you get to share what your vision is, and then you begin to look to see whose vision your vision is inside of, or their vision is inside your vision, and you get to work with and look at the possibilities and potentials of working with other great people in the community. So I just want to acknowledge you as a loving brother that is there, that's sharing yourself fully, that's in the space. And I love and appreciate that you do that, and that we're family. So thank you.
No doubt. Okay. And it was a wonderful group of women I had a chance. Me and Paul, it was like three or four men and like 20 women or more. And it was just wonderful to be around such strong, powerful, focused, and committed women who make up a good portion of the summit effort. Efforts. I want to just give a shout out to all of y'all, Henrietta, Keita, Claudette. I mean, I could name all their names. I love them all. They're wonderful.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you so much. And say hello to your daughter.
No doubt, no doubt. Peace and blessings.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are in our countdown to Birmingham, Alabama, where the 22nd annual event will take place at the DoubleTree Hotel on 20th Street in Birmingham, Alabama, on right at the corner of UAB's campus. So we invite everyone to our website, blacksummit.org, and go there, read the declaration, read the purpose of the International Black Summit, which is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. It's just a great experience for everyone. And so, Glenn, we're going to move over now to our Alabama guest tonight, who's representing the northern part of Alabama.
Specifically
Huntsville, for all of you A&M alumni or Oakwood alumni or UAH alumni, Mrs. Keita Crump Hampton from Huntsville, Alabama. How are you tonight, Keita?
I'm great, Marietta. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to hear you too, Glenn.
Likewise.
Right. So I last week we had an 81-year-old lady that you've met from Jemison, Alabama, on the show, Althea's mom, Miss Jessie. That's what we call her, Miss Jessie. And she shared with us many, many things that occurred in her life, you know, her life experience in Birmingham, living in Birmingham and what it was like and everything. So can you give us some perspective on what it was like to grow up in the state of Alabama?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because Huntsville, it's a bit different. It being the northern part of the state, it's a bit different from Birmingham, which is more central.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the location and the type of industry was there, there are a lot of technology companies and people are very focused on the aerospace industry. So it had kind of collegiate air to start with. And so there are several historically black colleges and universities there. And, of course, these are for people who were very focused at the time on civil rights matters and development while trying to educate the next generation of people of Black African descent who would most likely, and they would get quality education but could not find jobs in Alabama. So most of those students would leave the state.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of reinvestment from the educational efforts that were made from the HBCU.
Okay.
And of course, we know the national state where of struggle under Jim Crow laws before, you know, civil rights laws. So what I saw from my parents was they always were in a conversation of possibility, and they were always talking to other people, like-minded. My father, who was a professor at Alabama A&M University in Huntsville, worked as a state employee, was charged with the responsibility of finding sites for technical schools and colleges throughout the state. Because Alabama at that time, this was very soon after the civil rights laws were passed, Alabama in general was trying to raise its image and their educational standing in the pecking order of states as far as far as rankings in education, mm-hmm. Alabama was not near the top. So my dad was charged with the responsibility of going back to do this. One of the things he did as part of his own giving back to the community on the these travels with his work, he would also talk to people in different localities about voter registration and mm-hmm. The social issues and the things that were coming up for vote. So this had a lot to do with how the people were organized and mobilized during the civil rights mm-hmm. movement. So you ask what was his like. Those are the kind of conversations that we were around. But what I thought was very interesting, I never had an experience of racism my entire life. It wasn't until I went to the university after the passing of the civil rights laws did I have an experience.
That's something.
Well, it is. It really is. It boggles my mind to this day how my parents pulled that off because they always talked positive. But this is one thing I know. The African-American communities were self-sufficient pretty much. You know, it was your church, your community, your teachers, you know, your neighbors. Everybody knew each other. They did business with each other when they could, and when where they had to do business and for the larger services, they went to people whom they knew were fair or just, where people of African descent were concerned. So it kind of insulated us. You know, it was a long time before I even knew white people didn't like black people.
Mm.
Okay, so a lot of that may have to do with my own naivety.
No, but that's good to know. You know, like really, that's really good to know. Glenn, and you can, Glenn, jump in whenever you feel like it. I'm just like getting a feel of Huntsville, Alabama, you know, and not just Huntsville, because you went to school after the civil rights.
4 years after the passing of the civil rights laws, which, mind you, were 10 years after the laws were on the books.
Mm.
So that the actual desegregation and integration didn't happen until 10 years after it was law. In Alabama. I don't know where
right.
In Alabama. So now here's something that is different about Birmingham. Birmingham is called the Magic City.
Yes.
It's industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Most of how Birmingham even got put on the map had to do with coal and steel, which has to do with, these days, unions. And, of course, there's a lot of anti-union organizing. And, of course, the people who did this hard, dangerous work, for the most part, were black people, you know. So there was a lot of anti-union concerns there. This is way, I'm getting ahead of myself, because this is way, the union concerns are way after the civil rights thing. But back when, at the turn of the 50s and the 60s, where the occupations open to black people were pretty much, you know, you were a barber, a hairdresser, a maid, a cook. If you had an education, you might be a nurse, never a doctor,
mm-hmm.
You know, like that. And that was, and a teacher, and those were pretty much all you had to aspire to in Alabama. That, or you were a tradesman, or especially if you're in Alabama, you were more likely to be a farmer. And to be more specific, someone who was a sharecropper, mm-hmm. cotton for other people. So in Birmingham, there's more of, you know, and Birmingham, by the way, is considered the city. So, and so the most of the rest of it was just rural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the tone, you know. So people always knew what was right and wrong. And the heart of the people are always, you know, this is how it is. We have to help each other. So everywhere, everybody, and I even extended to even among white people, there was a sense of reciprocity of helping, you know. Now, I even remember people would do things to help my mother, like the white shop lady, you know. they wouldn't want anybody to know. They wouldn't let anybody know. But there was that sense of we have to help each other, you know. So that's what it was like coming up.
Southern hospitality kind of thing going on. That's interesting. I even remember when I moved to Huntsville in 81. I think it was the fall of 81. And I had a situation, you know, I had a situation where there were some people following me. And I happened to mention it to a friend, and he said to me, he said, "Oh, you won't have to worry about that. We don't have problems here. We help each other." And they had a conversation with these people, and I never saw them again, you know. But it was just, you know, anytime something like that happens, that's just somebody who knows you don't know. But once they understand you have people here, you won't have problems with that.
It's interesting. To this day, I know that there's kind of like this code and, you know, how people are. I moved away from Alabama soon after school and lived away and had my career. Most of my life has been outside of Alabama. And then, of course, you know, it's children come back to care for their parents at the same age. That's how I came to live in Alabama again. And it was a wonderful homecoming for me to come back to that energy of being welcomed and loved and accepted in your community. And I had totally forgotten about that. Everywhere else pretty much I had lived my adult life, I had not that
It didn't exist.
I'm going to share a little prejudice that my dad used to have about Birmingham because of all of the things that happened. Of course, you know, everybody's seen the news reel from the 60s and the concerted ways and things that was done to try to put down the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
But as you and I both know, anytime when you try to oppose something in that way, it only makes that cause stronger. So on one hand, we can thank them, you know, for getting that national attention that was necessary. But my father had no love at all for that city because it seemed that the government there had tried to put in place, even after the laws, whatever circumvented ways. Whatever circumvented ways they could find. Sorry, a little technical difficulty there. But whatever ways they could find to circumvent the laws, so that even after the laws were passed, it was still extremely difficult for people in Birmingham to progress, although they had lots of local leaders, which we hope will find their way to the summit this year and talk about it. But there's a lot to be known. We've seen heard the national stories and know much about the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but we don't know the stories of the unsung heroes, the foot soldiers, if you will.
Right.
So there's a rich history of that there in Birmingham, and we really hope the local populations will come and let us honor them at the event this year.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. There's so many, like you say, unsung heroes in this. In the state of Alabama, it's just amazing some of the accomplishments that have been made there. And Glenn, did you know, this is a trivia question.
Okay.
Who was George Washington Carver's paper boy?
Oh, I know that one.
You know the answer to that?
I do.
Okay.
Peter's father.
Peter's father, that's right.
How did that get to be known?
In our conversation, I just think that is just, you know, that's like so cool. When I went back to Chicago, I told everybody. I stayed in the house of the man who used to deliver papers for George Washington Carver.
And my dad told me the story of the way he put himself through college, was working his way through, and one of the things he did was he had a paper route, and he delivered Dr. George Washington Carver's paper every day.
Isn't that something? Putting himself through college. Now, can you imagine a college student today having a paper route?
Hey.
You know, that would be like, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Having a paper route. But, you know, like they say in this movie that I love, The Great Debaters, you do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. You
that's
know?
Right.
Yeah, and that's great. And so he could, look, he had bragging rights about that forever, you know. That's really nice. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our special guest for tonight from Alabama, Northern Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, is Mrs. Keita Crump Hampton. And she is also the wife of Joe Hampton, who is one of the originators of the International Black Summit. One of the originators. And Glenn, I just want you to know, you talk about a brother who holds the space for transformation to occur.
Mm-hmm.
That's Joe. You know, Joe told me everything that was going to happen this weekend before it happened. And I'm just like staring at him, and he's like, well, that's the way the summit is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works, you know. So he's very in tune to the magic of the summit. I don't even really like to say the magic of the summit. It's just those moments, you know, those summit moments when it just shifts, you know, the energy shifts and everybody is transformed in those moments, you know, like those certain moments when everybody really gets what they're up to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
According to Joe, it's all by design, right, Joe? Yeah, he said that's the way it was designed. You know, he says some of the sayings I got from him this week was we didn't what did you say about calling forth? You said, Joe, we didn't call, it's not coming through. Oh, I'm trying to remember this statement that you said to me about how the summit is being called.
I really was saying that we think that we are doing the summit, but the truth of the matter,
right,
the summit is doing us. It came almost as a revelation on one night in October 1991, and it's been producing results through us ever since. We have just been like the channels for this conversation to prosper out in the world, but we are clearly. It's beyond just our human, usually, knowledge of how to highlight works. But it seems that every distinction that has been created since we've started this conversation has worked out in a way that was way beyond our own expectations. And now we have about 20 years' worth of distinctions that have been developed that I saw this day, like it's fulfilling on the possibility of us having a world where black people can really contribute freely their contribution to the world. And I see that maybe opening up the space for other people to do the same thing. It's obvious that we've always been in a position to contribute in the face of extreme odds against us. But in the meantime, we can see the difference we made in this country in the last 400 years, let's say. So that's where I am about the summit. it's a conversation that's worth every person of African descent become conscious of, because already it's been prepared for them to move on to something way better than we have ever expected could happen to us in this country.
Thank you. That's like, I mean, that's so, you know, exciting. There's another word for it, but just to think about, that, you know, what we say about the summit is that it is a conversation given by life through people of Black African descent. You know, this is being given by life through this group of people. And so it's not, you know, it's like we just open ourselves up, or should I say we keep ourselves clear so that life can speak through us, and that we can utilize the technology that's given us in this conversation to shift so that we can live our vision, you know, whatever that vision is that we have for ourselves or for the community. That's like, that's really, really big, you know, and it gives us so much to look forward to. You know, I think about as we've been going through the different cities in Alabama and being with Keita and Joe, is, you know, it always reminds me of what it must have been like to be with Martin Luther King, because there's, you know, Keita represents the historic Alabama, you know, that's what she represents. Joe represents historic International Black Summit. So there's, you know, like as we go to these areas, like we're going to Montgomery tomorrow, and we're going to meet with people in Montgomery about coming to the summit in August. We go there not just as visitors or people who are just in town for the moment. We go there as representatives of life, you know, and to share this conversation with people who are interested in getting their life. And it's so something to look forward to, you know. Glenn, let me ask you a question
okay.
about your experience with Joe Hampton and Keita Hampton. You know, what are your memories of them as far as the summit, being in the summit space?
Well, let me just pause that for a second, and I've got two other things I want to come back to, if you said.
Okay.
But let me speak to that since you asked the question. Joe, and Joe spoke to it. He channels this work that we do, because I was describing it to Byron. Who I do a lot of work with, and even Byron's been in and out of the summit, but I think very few people really get the potential and the possibility of what the summit is, because the summit doesn't operate linear, and most things in life operate linear, and we don't. And so what Joe was speaking to is this non-linear eclipsing or catapulting from one point to the next point to the next point, which is almost it reminds me of the work of Quantum Leap. I don't know if you've ever, there was a show about it, but the show talks about moving from one space to the other in different dimensions, and I say that's what the work is. And Joe, perfect representation of the possibility of quantum leaping or what this work is available. So that's who Joe is for me, and I always listen to him to point to something or to alert me to something that will then open up my whole possibility. Because who I hold Joe to be is a visionary. He sees the possibility, and inside of that possibility is an opportunity to quiet the mind and just allow life to show up. Who Kita is for me is this wonderful energy, this given soul that is just fully giving of herself, always, no matter what's going on with her, personally, financially, physically, she is the source of abundant love. And so my experience of Kita is just that. She is the epitome of what I think that I aspire to be, and is a representation, again, another representation of the powerful work that gets unfolded in the summit space. And so when you begin to look at the contributions and the things, and you've got this mega conversations, intellectual, conceptual, quantum physical, and you have a body of people of Black African descent that are engaging in these conversations in a way that almost doesn't seem possible, but yet the context of the International Black Summit is the possibility of the fulfillment of all of these personalities, but yet is big enough to hold it, all of them, so that they can work together to generate whatever is next for the world. And when you look at the declaration, there's no accident that the last part of the declaration speaks to the conversation of we declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Now, it didn't say of the planet, it didn't say of the world, but of the universe. And so when you begin to get the context of the universal context that we're engaging in, you know, you begin to get a sense of, you know, this is not something that you normally bump into. So anyway,
So let me just say right here that what you just heard was something we practice in the International Black Summit, which is acknowledgement, you know, praise and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. That's what's available at the International Black Summit annual event. And we are acknowledging Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Joe Hampton and Mrs. Kita Crump Hampton, both of the International Black Summit leadership body, and many, many teams on Team Birmingham, on the host team, on the media team, on the facilitator team, just all kinds of positions here. And we just thank both of you for the contribution that you continue to do for us year after year after year. And I think about Joe was there 22 years ago when it all began, and he is with us this year, and we are so glad and appreciative to have him with us. So, Glenn, you said you were going to come back to something?
Well, I actually included it. I think I've included it both at a point. I know one of the point I actually included in it, in the share.
Okay.
So I'm actually good because we've got about 43 seconds.
Okay. Well, thank you, Glenn, for coming back to us, and because I know you were in Hawaii a long time. And I'm like, wait a minute. But we're so happy that you're back with us, and especially because it's time. You know, we have seven, after tonight, we have seven shows left, and we are doing a countdown to Birmingham, Alabama. We invite all of you to join us every week. We will have a member of the summit body, like we had Jonathan Davis tonight as our special guest, and we will always have someone from the Alabama area. It might be Mississippi, it might be Georgia, Tennessee, you know, but in that area, so that you can kind of get a sense of the people where we're going, who are hosting us, I should say, where we're going to celebrate the 22nd annual summit event. So remember to go to blacksummit.org and look for a summit share in your area. If you would like a summit share in your area, please contact us, blacksummit.org, or call this number, 646-716-9827, any Sunday between 8 and 9 Eastern Time, 7 Central Time, and let us know you would like summit share or a prerequisite in your area, and go online, blacksummit.org, and it will all be explained to you. Thanks again for listening in, and we will see you next week. Good night, Glenn.
Good night, and thank all our guests, Joe, Keita, and Jonathan, and thank you, Henrietta. It's always a pleasure. You take care. Peace, love, and blessings.
Good night, Henrietta.
Good night. Oh, hi, Nunu.
I ain't saying nothing. Good night, Henrietta.
Oh,
good night, Glenn.
Good night. That's our buddy from New Orleans. Okay, so next week we'll have to spend some time with you, okay?
Okay, baby.
All right. I love you.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Good night.
Good night, Glenn.
Good night.
Good night.